what to expect when you're expecting a huge speech on the throne. It's going to be very different today. The Senate is no longer where the Senate is because they're renovating Parliament for 10 years. So everyone's going to go to this new Senate, and the Governor General's going to arrive. And usually the Governor General arrives, and everyone just says, oh, the Governor General, they're so great. This time they're going to say, wow, Julie Payette's here. What's she going to do? She's under investigation. Like, it's going to be weird. There's a little soap opera drama going on, right? Because the Governor General, who was Justin Trudeau's choice, has been accused by multiple people of workplace harassment and bullying. She denies it. There's now not only an internal, but there's an external investigation. This has never happened before. So usually the Governor General actually kind of adds a bit to the Prime Minister's speech, which she's supposed to read. Is it going to be tense? Like, how is she going to get along? Which they're all going to fake it. They're going to do nice smiles. Oh, yes, good to see you. But don't buy it. There is a lot of tension. Even Jagmeet Singh, the leader of the NDP, has said this is going to be tense.
I think that it might be awkward. That's a fair way to put it. I think there's a certain awkwardness for the Liberal government. You know, that was their choice, and now there's these very serious allegations.
Yeah. So you got the little soap opera going on, but then more consequentially, what should he do? What will Justin Trudeau's big speech be about? Healthcare, we know, business infrastructure. What should happen? Let's bring in two people who have followed this stuff very closely. Jenny Byrne, former campaign manager for Stephen Harper. Jenny's been a regular on our programs. Great to have Jenny here. And Jeff Turner, senior consultant at Blue Sky Strategy Group. Jeff, great to have you here as well.
Hey, Alvin. Great to be with you and Jenny.
Hi, Alvin. Hi, Jeff.
Hey guys, so Jenny, you've been through these things multiple times before. What are you looking for today from Justin Trudeau?
Well, who knows? This is so unprecedented, not just for the reasons that you laid out in terms of logistics and the fact that the Governor General is being investigated for multiple workplace harassment, but because the Prime Minister is asked, of course, to address the nation after the speech from the throne. So the speech from the throne is supposed to be the vision document of the government's agenda and plan moving forward, and it's supposed to kind of stand alone as that. But the Prime Minister has decided to address the nation, you know, three hours later. So I don't know. We're hearing that there's not going to be much in terms of expectations, but I'm expecting a lot considering how unprecedented it is.
Yeah, just so people know, the Prime Minister phoned the networks and said, I want national time. They've never done this before. I asked the Prime Minister's office. Jenny's worked in the Prime Minister's office. She knows what it's like to get calls from people like me. And basically she says, oh, crap, Solomon's calling. Just give him some give him some BS and send him on his merry way, which is basically what happens. But sources have told me, I said, like, this is unprecedented. You better have something good to say, some announcement. You prorogued Parliament. So your vision document better have some meat and not just, you know, no protein in the salad. Now you want to add something. People are like, is he going to quit? Is he going to walk? No, there's no big announcement. Apparently it's a kind of buckle down, everybody. COVID's going to get worse in the second wave than it was. Don't get fatigued. Jeff, does the Prime Minister need to do more than a kind of, you know, we will fight on the beaches type speech?
I agree with your latter points there, Evan. It's important in the moment, especially as we've seen, I think, in a matter of days or at most weeks as this situation has deteriorated. I think there's, while the audience is all Canadians for both of these speeches, the one from the throne and the one later to the broadcast audience, at the end of the day, speeches from the thrones are followed by people like us. There are details that are important to businesses and individuals, obviously, that will come through the news media to those people. The later event, I think, is that opportunity to speak directly. And to your point, what is it going to be about? We all don't know. But given the seriousness of how that fall COVID curve is starting to bend upward in a very distressing way, I think this is their opportunity to come and remind Canadians of the seriousness of this situation and the actions that we all need to take collectively. The speech from the throne is the opportunity for the government to write some checks and to announce some policies and to try to take decisive action on certain problems or certain opportunities. But it still is incumbent on all of us as citizens of this country, as members of the public, as families and people who have loved ones, to do our part too. So I really kind of see them as two different connections with the Canadian people. One is about what is the government going to be
doing.
But
why does he need it? Like, this is why I don't understand, Jeff. This is a rare thing, you know, as it has been widely reported, I think. Stephen Harper, Jenny did it back in 2008. We were in the fiscal crisis. Lester Pearson did one 52 years ago. Paul Martin did one in 2005. That's it. Like, it doesn't happen very often. You got to have a message. Now, I understand we're in an unprecedented crisis, but he's done. He's had national TV audiences at the cottage for months. He's got the speech in the throne. He prorogued Parliament so opposition couldn't question him. Jenny, do you think it's incumbent on the Prime Minister to do more than just say, guys, we're like, things are coming back. I know it's difficult. Please, you know, social distance, wear a mask, wash your hands, follow it, and we'll support you every step of the way. Because I don't want to be used for as a political platform when we're already broadcasting the speech from the throne, Jenny.
Well, that's I agree. That's exactly what it seems to do. To your point, the Prime Minister was out at the start of this 6 months ago, 7 days a week, leading a press conference, which was covered sometimes by networks. This is, to your point, very unprecedented. Stephen Harper did it once in the entire time we were in government, and that included we did not even ask for network time on the day there was a terrorist attack on Parliament Hill. He addressed the nation, and networks chose to cover it because it was important to Canadians. So I think that this is seemingly just a very purely political, very political. He obviously, the Liberals view him as very popular. Canadians like him. They don't want the images of Julie Payette, obviously, to be the images that come out of the Liberal vision document moving forward. And so they've decided to seemingly to ask the networks for a half an hour to basically reiterate what Julie Payette is going to read at 3:30 today.
Yeah, Jeff, so what do you think we're going to carry this over the break, but in your view, there's getting a lot of attention. He's prorogued Parliament. What is the big thing that you're expecting to see?
In the speech from the throne or in the evening speech?
Well, both. I mean, I can't distinguish between the two because I don't think there is going to be a way to distinguish it, but what's the big thing today?
The big thing today is, I think, reminding Canadians that we're in this for a while yet and that they have a lot of responsibility, as does the government at all levels, whether that's the federal government, provincial government, municipal authorities. We are all in this together, to use their well-loved phrase. That's the big thing. And then I think in terms of tackling the crisis, it is a twofold crisis, as we all know, a health crisis, an economic crisis. Beyond that, it's a global crisis. So there are lots of different dimensions as to how to deal with this. But to deal with the health crisis is inherently to deal with the economic crisis, because if our health crisis gets worse and continues to degenerate, then we find ourselves a lot further behind in any restart scenario once things start to turn a corner again.
But Jeff, do you not think the Canadians know that we're in a health crisis and an economic crisis? They're worried about their jobs. They're worried about sending kids back to school.
They're standing
in line for months. So for this Prime Minister to use a platform to simply say, to Evan's point, wash your hands, wear a mask, and we're all in this together, seems to be a little bit tin-eared at this point.
Well, let me just take this, Jeff and Jenny. So nobody begrudges the spending. The question is it smart? Where is it going to go? Is it going to pay off? How long should it come? What do you spend on? You can't spend on everything. Jenny Byrne joins us. Jenny, of course, was the campaign manager for Stephen Harper. She worked with Stephen Harper for, Jenny, maybe a decade. And Jeff Turner is the senior consultant at Blue Sky Strategy Group. Great to have both of you here. Okay. And I know many of you are texting me at 7:10:10. Please do. And maybe at this portion of the show, you can even call in if you want. We'll hear from Conservative Tim Apple in a minute. But what do you want to see in this speech from the throne? 1-855-633-1010. Across the country, 1-855-633-1010. What is the thing? Is it investment in healthcare? I will tell you straight up, the government better get their act together on testing. The stories coming out on testing, 4 hours, 5 hours. I'm telling you, no one's going to comply with anything if the government asks the populace, please comply, please do everything right, please suffer. And then on our end, when you have to get a test, which we've told you to get for 7 months, wait in the cold and freeze your butts off when you're... I had a friend who's got a young kid who was puking, who was sick, who had to wait 4.5 hours in a cold lineup with their sick kid. This is unacceptable in a G7 nation. And every government better look themselves in the mirror and say that's a failure. So if they don't address that, the rest of this is going to fall apart. Jenny, what do you think he needs to do?
No, I agree with you. I think that there's, of course, I think that there has to be some kind of plan on rapid testing. I actually think it would be a very granular, small thing, but I think it should be in the speech from the throne. Canada is behind other G7 countries and Western countries in terms of approval of rapid testing. I think people are going to be looking at some form of plan in terms of the economy, not just for the people that are currently hurting, but what happens during a second wave. What happens, we're seeing in countries in Europe and the United States that there's massive restructuring of different companies and corporations. And, you know, I think that the next round of layoffs could be even more dire and severe than what the first round were for people. And I think they're worried about that. So I think that there has to be a plan forward that even if the government doesn't fully know what they're going to do, that they're at least diligently working on it.
Yeah, I look, testing sounds granular, but when you're spending $380 billion, Jeff,
yeah.
They got to have that. And I know there's provincial and municipal responsibilities there. So this is not a partisan issue. I don't care whether you're flying the red, the blue, or the orange flag. People don't give a damn. They want services when in a pandemic, and it's failing. So that's one thing. Healthcare is obviously a huge thing, but you know, to be fair, the Liberals have transferred $19 billion in a safe restart program. $11 billion of that is going towards healthcare. Are we behind on healthcare, Jeff? Is that got to be a big issue?
I mean, I think testing has to be in that speech today because it is absolutely front of mind for everybody. And you're absolutely right. That money landed in provincial accounts over a week ago. That money was announced in July. And it's the plans that needs to support for, in particular, the other thing I expect to see in the speech from the throne in some way, which is schools. As we know, as you referenced in off the top after the break, you know, there are parents who are just in Faustian dilemmas. What do you do? When that kid has a sniffles or when somebody in that school may have contacted a COVID-19 patient. So this is like testing in schools are actually directly related. I think a lot of these testing issues we've had as administered through the provincial health authorities are directly related to that return to school and the kind of haphazard way, I would argue, that has happened in many of the major provinces. So I think you'll see the government focus on both of those things. And rapid testing, certainly, I know there's files on the health department's desk about which rapid tests and their various pros and cons are available. I would love to see some progress on that because we all need more than 500 person lines at a community center. That's not sustainable, to your point, for much longer. But these are provincial health systems. These are hospitals who are delivering these programs. So that is a function as well of that. The funds from the federal government can support that, but it is the local and provincial health infrastructure departments and officials, and at the end of the day, provincial politicians who are responsible for executing on that plan. And that is what we've been seeing very poorly done, I would just say, not just now, but since the beginning of this crisis, and it really needs to change quickly.
They also got to support businesses. They're going to sort of eventually the CERB's going to run out because you can't just keep mailing checks, and they're going to do it on employment insurance. They're going to make that easier to access, more training. That is critical because, you know, health and the economy are so tied up. I want to bring in a caller who's been listening. Adam, what's the I'm going to just call it the thing. Like in politics, everyone's got their bailiwick, but, you know, what is the thing for you?
Well, for me, it's two parts. One is an increase in corporate taxes. I want to see that. And two, I want a move. I'm an econometrician, so I build economic models for banks. And we need to move the focus from boomers to the millennials. We're going to have to accept, and this makes me a monster, I know, that old people are going to have to die to keep the economy going. And that's a horrible thing to say, but that's what's going to be. And I wrote about it, a piece in March 18th, no one would publish it, and now we're there. But that's
all right. Well,
you
are saying something that a lot of people might think. I could tell you straight up, I don't accept that. I don't think we can say people, you're just going to have to die. No politician should say that to someone in the country. If someone says, you know what, we're going to let the old people die for the rest of us. I think there's going to be money for long-term care. We cannot give up on our seniors. They've worked hard to build this. So I radically disagree. I will say this. Do I think raising corporate taxes is smart? No. I think that is not going to happen now. Corporations are dying. If you do that now, it'll be a disaster.
Corporations are making more money than they've ever made.
Some of them have, I agree. But what I think... And
we need to put HST onto streaming services, onto food delivery, onto things that we haven't been claiming their money. Remember that most of the corporations in this country are foreign owned. They're not locally owned.
All right, so hang on. I appreciate that. Just because I got a minute here, I got a minute with Jeff and Jenny. I don't think they're going to increase corporate taxes. I do think they're going to put taxes on streaming services like Facebook and Google. They're going to try to do that. I do think, though, in the last 6 months, Jenny, the top 20 billionaires in Canada have made $37 billion extra dollars. The federal government has given the rest of Canadians $19 billion to split among 34 million. So a marginal tax, which means a tax after you make over, let's say, $20 million, I think that might be on the table for billionaires. But there's no way they raise corporate tax, in my view.
Yeah, I don't think they will either, because I don't think that putting an extra tax burden on corporations or businesses across the country is going to do anything to help stimulate the economy. I think that when you look at, we're sitting at an 11% or 10% unemployment
rate. Jenny,
hang on.
Jenny and Jeff, I still have Jenny Byrne, the great Jenny Byrne, and the wonderful Jeff Turner joining me. Okay, Jenny, sit back for, politicos like us. We all like this for all sorts of reasons, but this is the most consequential moment for millions of Canadians that I can remember. The pandemic has changed everything. It's going back to the 2008-2009 financial collapse, but I think this is even more because it's not just finance, it's health. So if you were in the office now, you were whispering the ear of a prime minister that you would vote for, because I don't think you're a Trudeau liberal because you worked for Stephen Harper for 10 years. What would be the thing you would whisper in the ear and say, you need this right now, boss?
Well, I think what they need right now is how this speech is going to affect people's everyday lives and make things better. So it's not just about the new EI program, which I think is important, but it's also because there's so many sectors: the fisheries, the oil patch, the manufacturing sector. All these jobs are taking a real hit. But if we're going back to kind of talking about corporations and responsibility there, instead of raising taxes on small business and instead of raising taxes on businesses, one of the things the government could do is look at companies like the telecoms and the banks in terms of high interest rates, in terms of mortgage deferrals. But the end of September is probably a very stressful time for people who couldn't have been able to afford their mortgage over the last 6 months, and it could be continue to be there. So we have some of the highest cell phone bills in the Western world, and those are things that genuinely affect day-to-day Canadians, affect Canadians and their standard of living.
Yeah, although it's interesting. So real things. Jeff, I'll go to you. I will say I do think they're going to do something like paid sick leave, and I know it's provincial responsibility. It's expensive. They're going to do it, but someone's got to pay for that too. Jeff, what are you looking for?
Well, I'm actually going to pick up on your caller's point around the millennials. I certainly also don't agree with his prescription on people's health. But I will say, the focus on people who have precarious work. And so the high level here is the short-term imperative: help people and businesses who are staring into a void bridge this crisis from now until hopefully a time, months or a year away where we can start to resume in a real way. So make sure that the bottom doesn't fall out on families and businesses, including small businesses, that they can make it to the other side. That's imperative number one on an economy side. Imperative number one, of course, on the health side is get system and resources in place, fix up the things that aren't working well, and of course about the speech at 6:30 tonight, get people to really re-click into bending the curve. And I just I do depart from you guys. I think we heard a lot from the Prime Minister up until June. We've all had a lovely summer. We've all been doing nice things outside. That's about to change. The world is changing now. I think we elect leaders to speak to the people of the country to help rally them around important causes. And I think we've all seen slippage in the last couple of months, and I think this is their moment to rally it.
I think a lot of people haven't had a lovely summer. They've been worried about their mortgage. They've been worried about their business. And I think that, to be fair, the Prime Minister did prorogue Parliament in August and shut down a lot of those. So, and I get it, summer's the summer. But Jenny and Jeff, I think that's going to be interesting. I'll find out what – I want to bring in Tim Upple because he's going to be there and find out what they – the Conservatives specifically want. But Jenny and Jeff, always a pleasure to have the two of you on, listening to our callers and giving your views. Thanks so much.
Thank you
so much, Evan.